Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to segment two of God Invention Radio with Sarah Shaw from Entrepreneur. Just a quick announcement. Got Invention will be at the Chicago Toy and Game Fair this weekend, actually November 20th, thanks to Invention Home, our sponsor. I'll be covering the Young Inventor Challenge and will be interviewing the contestants who are less than 19 years of age and have an original game or toy. You can email me for more information at brian@gotinvention.com or come to our booth, visit me there, and also you could go to chitag.com. for more information about the show. Again, thanks to Invention Home for your sponsorship. Okay, Sarah, let's get back to the patent information that you had for us.
Well, so what I really wanted to say is that, you know, when I did my design patent, it just, you know, when I looked at my product, I thought, I'm just going to get a design patent, not a utility patent, because nobody, you know, I just didn't see how anybody could get around my design idea and make it any different or better or improve upon it. So, you know, lo and behold, somebody did patent over my patent, and they slightly changed the design and the visual appearance of it enough to get it through the patent office. And, you know, I just caution people. I mean, luckily for me, it hasn't interfered with my sales. We have very different sales strategies, and they seem to sell to lower price market. So that it didn't end up being a financial disaster for me or anything, but it could have, and right. I didn't have the millions of dollars to take them to court. And that is, you know, I had several attorneys look at it on contingency, and they all thought it would be a $3 to $6 million event with attorneys right. and lawsuit. And, you know, and so I just want to caution people, you know, who patents can really protect you and can really serve you well. But so many people patent ideas without bothering to take a look at what the market is or, you know, how they're going to sell it. They just go, oh, my God, I have this great idea. I'm going to just run down, you know, get an attorney and patent this thing tomorrow without doing the research and making sure that it actually has legs. I mean, I know people who are in this situation. So, you know, and that's it's a very big investment. And, you know, I can see how it can be a deterrent to people. So I just really encourage you, if you're thinking about patenting something, to really do your homework and find out what the sales opportunities are for the idea that you have.
Right. So definitely do your research first and get out there and get people's honest feedback and opinions. And if you feel like you're uncomfortable showing them, get yourself a non-disclosure agreement and have them sign that. So at least you could get some feedback, right, Sarah? Have some sort of protection.
Definitely. And you can also, for a very nominal fee, I think right now it's about $110, you can file a provisional patent. And a provisional patent basically tells the patent office that you're staking your claim on this item, and you have exactly 365 or 364 days, something like that. I don't know. It has to be less than a year to actually file your real patent. So a provisional patent is very inexpensive. You can pretty much file the paperwork yourself. There are people that I learned through my interview this week with John Calvert from the patent office that you can call and talk to people at the patent office who can help you fill out the paperwork for the provisional patent. So that's actually, I think, would be a great adjunct to having a non-disclosure.
Absolutely. And everybody has different opinions about it, but I like to make sure that what I'm putting in the provisional patent is proper. So when I do want to transfer it over into utility patent, otherwise called a non-provisional patent, that I don't lose any opportunity for my filing date. So it is a good idea to consult. I mean, like Sarah says also, it's not that complicated. You could do it yourself, but, you know, it's always good to kind of just get a second eye on it from an expert, especially if this is something that you are really looking at as a potential business opportunity down the road.
Exactly. And one other quick thought on that, too, is, you know, you have to really be sure that you're going to be ready to move ahead within those 365 days, because if you don't, then you could lose the rights to the patent if you didn't move forward from the provisional patent.
Right, exactly. All right, so we touched a little bit on that, and you can definitely subscribe to Sarah's blogs, they're pretty much daily, right? I mean, I get them. Is it daily?
Or? I do them about three times a week, usually Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I try to.
Okay. Well, you do a great job, and you have some great information and great resourceful people, that especially for inventors. So that's ENTREPRENETTE.com, entrepreneur.com. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get to some of the real good stuff here that I know that we were promoting the show with, and I have people that were emailing me throughout the week saying, oh, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I told them, stick around and you'll listen to Sarah on the show.
Yeah.
So let's start off with kind of like a grassroots style that I know you're familiar with, and basically taking your product and getting it out there. Give us some tips and some suggestions, whether you've done it or what you've heard.
Yeah, I'll actually give you some suggestions from my own personal experience.
Great.
A really great way to get started with your product line, you know, once you have the product in hand, is to start with friends and family hosting like home kind of like Tupperware style parties for you. And it really gives you, I think what it did for me, and I think you guys listening might find this to be true for you too, is it's not as scary as, you know, like walking out into a group of people that you've never seen before. So it gives you a little bit of a sense of familiarity. There's somebody there, someone's hosting the party for you that you know. There might be friends of yours there and people who, you know, could give you even some gentle constructive criticism if that's what you're looking for.
It's like a support, like a support team.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. You know, and that's how I started out selling. And then I sold to friends and family. I called people I knew who worked in office buildings and asked if they would host a little lunchtime sale for me, and I would just bring my bags upstairs and lay them out in their conference room, and people would come in and look at them, and you know, and I slowly started to get a reputation that way for the bag lady. And you know, people used to joke and say that I, you know, was the bag lady because I'd walk in with, you know, hundreds of bags on my arms. And so, you know, obviously if you have a jewelry line or something that's much smaller, you can come in with a cute little box and not look like, you know, like a homeless person.
Right.
But, you know, so that was one of the main ways that I would suggest sort of testing the waters. And then as you feel more confident, you know, you can start cold calling other office buildings and start going, you know, to see the strangers. And asking if you can come and do a sale for them. You know, it's obviously, if you can equate them with holidays like Mother's Day, if it's a, you know, whatever type of person your product is for, if it's for women, then you want to hit Mother's Day and, you know, the holidays. If it's for children, then it might just be kind of any time. You know, if it's for men, you might want to start out trying to hit Father's Day or Valentine's Day if that's appropriate. So you want to sort of think about if the holidays impact your particular product. You know, usually I find that holidays, whether they're, you know, real or manufactured ones, are really relevant to the selling cycles for product-based businesses.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You have to know, so some very interesting information you've given us, you have to know your customer, it sounds like, and you have to be prepared to launch. You have to be able to get out there and show people, whether it's you or other people supporting you, right? I mean, these are some really good tips. You know, a lot of inventors out there, they want to get their product out, but they're also afraid to show people their idea. How do you feel about that, Sarah?
Well, you know, it depends. You know, I'm sort of a big believer in just showing people your products. You know, I don't really feel, I never ever have had anyone ever sign a non-disclosure. And I've only ever had one person ever ask me to sign one before showing me something that they were working on.
Okay.
And I think that if you're a person of integrity, that you tend to attract the people with integrity around you. And that I don't really, I think that by hiding behind your, you know, hiding your product from people, that you're actually hurting yourself. And because someone may say to you, oh my God, I love that so much, but if you did blah, blah to it, I think you could use it for these 12 other purposes. And all of a sudden, you know, you, the light bulb goes off and you're like, oh my God, thank God I showed it to you, because now you just expanded my business and I can take it from, you know, $500,000 to $5 million. So I think that, getting feedback from people and not being afraid of someone stealing your idea, is really more of a mindset that for me has always worked.
You know,
but you know, everyone needs to do what they feel comfortable with.
Right. But the thing is, inventors, we get so emotionally attached to our idea that sometimes we don't see the other opportunities that other people may come up with or change or modify. And you have to be flexible. You know, you want to be able to go with mainstream USA and see what people are interested in and get their feedback. It's very, very important. Right, Sarah?
Yeah.
I think you really need to be flexible is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, and also I think that the more you know about your target market and your consumers, the better off you're going to be in the long run.
What's a good tip for doing research that you could give us in the last 30 seconds or so?
For target market research, you want to know everything you can about your target market, and you want to think about where they live, what kind of job they have, are they married, are they single, what kind of car do they drive, what's their income. And you really want to dig in deep. I have a great blog about that, too, so people can go read that and really figure out who you're serving and who is buying your product. And then you want to keep selling to that particular person.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. We got how to get your products into TV, movies, celebrities, talking to magazine inventors or emailing them or sending them letters. We got plenty more coming up on segment 3 and 4, but we're done with segment 2 now. We have Sarah Shaw from Entrepreneur on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We'll be back in a moment.
Love to read but just don't have the time? With Audible.com, you can catch up on reading simply by listening. Audible has the largest collection of digital audiobooks, over 85,000 titles in every genre. Listen to a bestseller on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Android smartphone, or one of 500 other compatible devices. Visit audible.com/WSRadio today and get a free audiobook when you try Audible free for 14 days. That's audible.com/WSRadio.
Besides the hard work of our incredible WS Radio staff that has decades of experience in the broadcast industry, one of the reasons WS Radio sounds so good is we use Orban technology. We are not alone. Over 50,000 professional broadcasters can't be wrong. From radio, TV, streaming to hardware and software, Orban has been supplying the broadcast industry for nearly 30 years. Great customer service and continued R&D separates Orban from the rest. Learn more at Orban.com.
Do your M2M devices rely on a cellular signal to transmit data? Do your customers rely on that data for processing transactions, asset tracking, managing product inventory, or fleet monitoring? If so, you probably have situations where poor cellular signal is the weak link in your communication. At Wilson Electronics, we provide signal-boosting solutions to work with your device in even the most challenging situations. Our signal boosters and antennas can give you peace of mind by delivering a stronger signal. For more information about Wilson Electronics cellular signal boosters, visit WilsonElectronics.com or call 1-866-839-9282.
Internet talk radio works. After all, you're listening to me now. WS Radio has led the industry as the worldwide leader, broadcasting 24/7 online since 2001. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we are giving away a local WS radio station. Equipment, location, production, the whole shebang. No purchase necessary to enter. Grab your cell phone and text WS Win to 313131. That is WS Win to 313131. Offer ends January 15th, 2011.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.